women.
Oh.
He's an emotional thinker.
Good God.
I mean, that's part of the problem we're having now in our society is we have a bunch of emotional thinkers that want the world to, you know, to fall in line with their emotions. That's not... look, reality doesn't give a shit about emotions.
It's my lived truth. Fuck your lived truth.
No, it's not. It's your perspective.
Kiss my ass.
Literally, like, hey, Sarm Pop, you got to turn your bears in. I'm like, over my dead body.
No.
Just give me a statement of charges.
Yeah.
You're never getting
this
back.
Yeah.
You can suck it.
I'm going to wear this with my Russian coat.
you will bury me in this. Hey! Why I got to fucking be like that, man?
Because I'm an asshole, and I learned from the best. I'm sitting across from him, and I'm pointing at you with all four fingers.
All right, first of all, the Russian jacket. Is World War II surplus.
I'll send you a picture of it, Sarge.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I got you standing wearing it with holding two giant buckets like you just collected all the chum from behind the dump dumpster at the bar, and you're going to go home and make ice cream out of it.
What's up, savages? Terrence Pop here with another episode that actually is live from the lair. All right. Now, today we're going to be covering a topic that, let's just face it, we keep doing this over and over again, especially in the 20th. Now we're in the 21st century. And it has to do with assisted suicide, euthanasia, whatever you want to call it. But this has actually been a, how shall we say this, a term that, or a method that has been used by the Germans, by the Russians, by the Bolsheviks, drink, to get rid of individuals who they used to refer to as useless eaters. Where have we heard that term recently? That has been thrown around in the media quite a bit. If you recall, a few years back, we had the Georgia Guidestones destroyed. And basically, their blueprint of what they wanted for the future was out there for the whole world to see on Front Street. And they basically want to reduce the human population to 500 million. We have roughly somewhere between 6 and 8 billion on the planet now. So who are going to be the unlucky individuals who will be voted off the island? And as it stands now, more than likely, it's going to be the people in the West because we have been feminized and weakened to the point where people are willing to step into a go-to-sleep-forever tube or drink some Socrates tea or what have you to basically erase themselves from the planet Earth. Now, I am not a suicide absolutist, okay? Now, let me explain myself. If you are old and you have a very bad diagnosis and it's not going to end well for you and it's going to be a long, painful, slow motion train wreck of a death. I don't think either anyone here should judge you for that, number one. And number two, and this is just my opinion, I really don't think it's going to be held against you when you go to the other place. If you did everything in your purview to make sure that you tried to stay as long as you possibly could. I got it. All right. Back in the day when I was looking for a car, I almost bought a Buick Riviera that belonged to Jack Kevorkian. And it was somebody, one of his in-laws. I sat and talked to him for a couple hours. And he was pretty much along the same lines. You know, if you're sick, tore up from the floor up, and you're done. Now, I'm not talking about emotional blows or, you know, depression or anything like that. That all that can be, you can defeat that. It is what it is. We're talking to guys with ALS, severe MS, brain cancers, blood cancers that spread to like all of their organs, and all that's left is a miserable death. And they wrote it out as long as the painkillers would last. I got it. But what we're trying to bring to everyone's attention is simply this. They are planning it all over again. All of this crazy mumbo jungle lingo is all connected to socialism, which is the doormat to communism. And we have so many people today will literally look you in the face and go, well, it just wasn't done right yet. Completely disregarding the fact that we are all evil, hairless monkeys. And we do a bunch of evil, hairless monkey shit to each other. Meaning, we dominate murder, sexual assault, what have you, to each other. We spend billions of dollars, trillions of dollars to come up with new innovative ways to send more people into the next world as easily and lazily as possible. And there you have it. It is going to be a royal goat screw. And hopefully you guys watching the show will keep your eyes open, because let's just be honest. Yes, Trump won this election, but the enemies of the civilization and the world are still out there. Dare I say the forces of darkness? None of this is being covered by the mainstream media, and it's small channels like mine that are actually covering this travesty, and it needs to be talked about. So let's bring in Battledorf and get on with it.
Yeah. Why is it always going to be me?
Yeah.
Why is it always got to be me?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, we stumbled across this last week, and we've been kicking links back and forth on the whole thing all of this time. And let's face it, like Canada, for example, they had what was like 15,000 assisted suicides.
Yes.
Last year. Let's take a look at what this is first here. Let's see here. Assisted suicide, also known as physician-assisted suicide, is the process by which a person, with the help of others, takes actions to end their lives. Now, like Pop said when we started this a minute ago, if you are tore up from the floor up, okay, there's no recovering your condition. I get this. I understand. There's points where you just can't go any further. That wall exists. There's no debating whether or not that wall exists. It does. Probably most famously portrayed in a movie about World War I called Johnny Get Your Gun. Do you remember that, Pop?
Oh, yeah.
There's a guy who's a World War I vet, and he's in a hospital, and everybody's gathered around him and his family, and they're all talking to him. And this one guy notices that the guy who's laying in the bed, who's lost his arms and legs, he's blind, he had his like jaw blown off, and he's completely wrapped in bandages. And one of the people in the room notices that the guy's like tapping his head, tapping his head. And they're like, oh, he must be trying to communicate. He must be trying to communicate. And finally, one of his buddies comes in and says he is. And everybody looks at the guy's buddy, the other soldier, and says, well, what's he saying? He says, it's Morse code.
Yep.
And he's saying, please kill me. You know, when you're to that point, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. You're completely roached. There's nowhere else to go. And all you're going to do is suffer until, you know, the lights go out and you go to your final exit interview. But this is not that. Okay, let's be crystal clear about what's going on in these countries. And you can see a little map down in the corner there of where the countries are. And some of the states, Oregon and California, now have it. Assisted suicide is legal in some countries under certain circumstances, including Austria, Belgium, Canada, Germany, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Portugal, Spain, Switzerland, some parts of the United States, and all six states in Australia. The constitutional courts of Colombia, Ecuador, and Italy have legalized it, but their governments have not yet legislated or regulated the practice. Now, this has been going on since there have been people on the face of the planet. Let's be crystal clear about that. This is something that we've done all along. But what we're looking at here, it simply isn't the same thing at all. Let's take a look at the Netherlands, for example. In the Netherlands, euthanasia, termination of life on request, and assisted suicide are prohibited under Articles 23 and 293 and 294. In the Dutch Euthanasia Act, an exception has been made for physicians. Euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide performed by a physician who has complied with all six due care criteria set out in the Act and has notified the municipal pathologist. That's like the, what do we call those guys? The coroners here in the States, I guess.
Okay.
It's not a criminal. So what this is the slow slide into we can euthanize people.
Yes. It's a slippery slope.
It is.
As human beings, we have this annoying habit called mission creep.
Yes.
It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just gets worse and worse. And I'm going to rearrange my screens here very quickly. I'm going to put that one over there, this one over here, shove this one up Pop's ass, no homo.
Hey, hey.
What? Huh?
Huh?
Difference between euthanasia and assisted suicide. It's very simple. The doctor in euthanasia administers whatever it is that punches your clock. An assisted suicide is where the doctor hands you whatever it is that punches your clock.
And you do it yourself.
You essentially do it yourself, but you're given the means to do it. Now, Canada has been screwing around with fun things like in the thumbnail for tonight's show, the bye-bye bed. That's a bye-bye bed. That's a suicide bed.
And I believe they use nitrogen.
Did you hear what happened with an incident in Canada using the bye-bye bed?
They had to go in and choke him.
They literally had to go in and strangle the guy because the bed failed.
Yeah, that's you should have just one of my injection or something.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, here's another example.
Sure.
I watch on Netflix a show called Resident Alien, and towards the end of the second season, the so-called alien, who's basically playing a doctor, has to go and administer a lethal dose of some narcotic to a guy who's basically dying. And he's really...
Oh, I think I watched a couple of shows of that. He's like literally an alien, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he literally puts him down, and the guy like looks at the doctor before he checks out and says, thank you. In my opinion, that is where you need to be for this to apply to you.
Simple. Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you and I go back and forth about this all the time on numerous shows. Look, don't take a permanent solution to a temporary problem. The problem with what we're talking about now, and make sure I hit the button there in the correct fashion so that I don't screw this up. We're still in a bit of a learning curve. Tomorrow we have a big staff meeting at the lair to go over all of this stuff. And things will get smoother and smoother as we go along, as Blake retires to his wizard's tower.
Yep.
Which is inevitable at this point.
It's coming up in May, because May is when his wedding business kicks off, and he's just so busy.
The guy makes good money. He's hella good at what he does, and he's been doing for years now.
Yes, but the thing is, you know, he wants to focus whatever time he has with his son, who's now at that age where he needs to be around his father to learn how to live in the real world.
Where dad purpose kicks in. Yeah, yes. I got you. So when you Google Canadian death panels, Google and its AI will tell you there's no Canadian death panels. That's just nonsense. However, comma, this article's from 2013.
Ah, here we go.
Canada has death panels, and that's a good thing. What's a death panel? Let's discuss the idea of a death panel for a minute.
All right, hang on. So this is the way they're doing it. Mm-hmm. All right. They haven't got to the point where they're admitting this is who we're going to pick to die. They're admitting who they're not going to treat. They're like, okay, like, for instance, I've talked to probably half a dozen people who watch this show from Canada who have asked me for the anti-cancer, you know, diet, treatment, whatever we have. And because once you get to a certain stage of cancer in Canada, they won't treat you. So they just say, oh, yeah, you're stage four. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Yep.
That is an indirect death panel. But once it gets socially accepted, they're going to flip their script and go, oh, yeah. Everyone over 72 years of age, report to your extermination facility because you're done. Yeah. No, I don't fucking think so.
So Pop and I are old enough to remember an old movie called Logan's Run, which was a cheesy, campy movie, but it had titties. And because we were like 8 or 10 years old when it came out.
But it also had dating apps.
Well, Yahoo. Yes, it did. It had dating apps in your house.
Yeah.
You literally swiped left or right. Yep. And she could walk through the screen.
Into your house.
Yeah.
Now that's just like Uber. It's like, yeah, right. Come over.
And it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. It's just more of a
anyway, Logan's Run did it first, but also everybody had a gemstone in their palm. And when that gemstone started flashing and then stopped emanating light at all, stopped shining, you had to report to what was called Carousel, where you were blown up in a ritual.
Well, they sold it as a renewal.
Yes, it's a renewal, and nobody was allowed to live past 30.
Yes.
And there was no such thing as marriage. You just get somebody pregnant, and then they did scientific things, and the baby was raised in an incubator. And it was supposed to be this perfect utopian society. Well, these insane Bolsheviks, meaningful pause, they really want this for the real world. They want to keep the population down to 500 million. They want to keep people permanently medicated in some fashion. And how many of you out there know more than 3 people who are not on some sort of medication?
Well, yeah.
Think about it.
I knew people in the service, because you really couldn't be on any crazy meds back in the day. You can now.
No, civilian world. This is purely civilian world. Yeah, in the military, you couldn't.
Yeah. No, I really don't know anybody. Yeah. Well, I mean, yep. My buddy Pete, I think he's on like a cholesterol pill, but
I can only think of a tiny handful of people.
Yeah.
That are not on something. One of the things with the Logan's Run thing, and this is something my brain just made the connection on, you're only allowed to live to 30 years old. Okay. Now, everybody here knows I'm that freaking history geek. I'm the kid who sits around and actually reads Virgil. Yep. There has for a long time been in academia this trope about how nobody in the Middle Ages really lived past 35 years old. That was like the average lifespan was around 35. Now, line that up with Logan's Run and only living to about 30 years old and this whole thing that we know they're trying to do with the Georgia Guidestones. When were those put there even?
70s, 80s? The money was paid somewhere between 75 and 78.
There you go. That lines up with the whole Logan's Run thing. And that's when academia started saying that people only lived to about 35 years old in medieval times anyway. Now, if you go back and bother to read the Greeks, one of the chief generals in Caesar's time died at the age of like 92 when he fell off of his favorite horse while out on a ride.
Well, it happens. But I think what they're talking about there is so many people died in childhood that it skewed the numbers way to the left. But once you made it past the age of like 15 or 16, mm-hmm. your chances of making it into your 50s or 60s were pretty good.
I don't think it's true. I think it's bad academics. I think it is a deliberate exaggeration. There's a whole bunch, like the Dark Ages, for example. I know we're going down a rabbit hole here, but there's a point to it. The Dark Ages, for example, that's the time period of the Byzantine Empire. There was nothing dark there. That was all well documented and was a period of huge development for crafts and architecture and music and all of that stuff.
Yep.
So we all know that our academic system is skewed, and it's all pushing us toward this idea that there should be less of us anyway. And now you've got the idea of death panels here in Canada. And mind you, this is October 21st, 2013. Okay, last week, Canada's Supreme Court ruled that doctors could not unilaterally ignore a Toronto family's decision to keep their near-dead husband and father on life support. In the same breath, however, the court also confirmed that under the laws of Ontario, Canada's most populous province, I think everybody in Canada lives there, a group of government-appointed educators could yet overrule the family's choice. That tribunal, not the family's doctors, has the ultimate power to pull the plug. In other words, Canada has death panels.
Correct.
Now, when you give disaffected, disconnected bureaucrats authority over something like this...
Oh my God, you're asking for it.
It becomes a bureaucracy of death. It literally becomes a bureaucracy of death.
Right, they pick
and choose. Yep.
When has a bureaucracy not in the end become a bureaucracy of death? I'm just asking for a friend.
That's fine. You make a very valid point. I'm talking about this is specifically a bureaucracy of death. That's what this bureaucracy does, is who decides who lives and dies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we used to go to war. And bureaucracies used to pick who would get drafted and who wouldn't. Yeah. And back in the day, getting drafted was pretty much a death sentence.
Yes. Yes, it was. And that is definitely a form of a death panel of sorts. Now, you had a chance. It was like playing freaking rollerball or running man.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a very good chance. And you were going to come back messed up.
Yeah, listen, you never step into the eye of oblivion and come back clean.
No.
I'm just going to tell you that right now.
No. Which brings me to something that I wanted to bring up.
Here we go.
This is a new segment I like to call, Who Pissed Off the Dwarf This Time? Okay? So, I want to talk to you guys about this because this is really beginning to fucking chafe my ass. I've been in a 21-year running battle with the United States government over things that were done to me. And I have to change the banner here so that people understand that the dwarf is not going on a random killing spree. Please read the banner below. I'm going off, and there's a purpose behind it. Listen to me. Your government hates your guts, and they want you fucking dead. Period. Okay? Not just me. This isn't just me. Hundreds of guys have gone through this process. We go, we believe we're serving our country. We go overseas. We kill people we don't know, or we arrange that. My job was to find the people to kill so that I could send guys just like Pop to go do exactly that. And we'll go do this for 5, 10, 20, 30 years in the name of our country. Believing firmly that our country has our back when we come back. Guess what? They don't have your back.
Nope.
I've been fighting this battle for 21 years with the federal government. They lie. They hide stuff. They commit, in my particular case, 79 separate felony crimes I've identified, committed against me just so that they could get me out of their way and off of their map. Not one. The only way the federal government will respond, and here's the reason for the banner, is if somebody like me or somebody like Pop or another one of us guys goes, you know what? I've had enough. And guess what, Mr. Federal Guy? I'm coming for you, and I'm coming for every member of your family, and I'm not going to stop. Now the federal government will pay attention. Now the federal government will show interest, and they'll show up, and they'll kick in your door, and they'll probably shoot you. They'll definitely shoot your dogs. They'll wreck your house. They'll take everything you have, and they'll stick you in a fucking gulag under a prison somewhere for the rest of your natural life because you got mad because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. After you buried a bunch of buddies and spent anywhere between 3 and 30 years of your life killing people in foreign countries for them. And we've had enough. We've had enough. It's ridiculous. This has got to freaking stop because guess where this goes from here? Give me one more minute, Pop. Guess where this goes from here? We start coming back from overseas. They start to realize that we come back edgy. They start to realize we come back angry, right? Oh, well, you know what we're going to do? You need to go to the VA. They're going to help you. You're going to get treatments. Hey, we've got this nice hyperbaric chamber here. You know, the extra oxygen will sort you out a little bit. You get in that chamber?
Bye-bye.
You want to bet? I will bet you that something like that, if it hasn't started happening, is definitely being planned.
The bye-bye bed?
The bye-bye bed.
Yeah,
these soldiers, they're coming back too messed up. Okay, that's fine. Just, you know, let them go do what they do. And when they come back, send them for treatment. Oh, you know, oxygen therapy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, listen.
I'm so fucking angry.
I get it. Thanks for
letting me go off. No problem.
But, I mean, this is the thing here. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to, you know, some of my former leftoid friends back in the day. And I would bring this up, and they look me in the face and go, oh, well, that can't happen here. It's happening just north of our border where the snow
Mexicans. It's absolutely happening.
Yeah, where the snow Mexicans.
I call them the Syropians.
Yeah, the Syropians. They're doing it right there. We have certain states that are probably going to allow that to take place as well. There's
Oregon
no reason.
And California are already doing it.
Yeah, there is no reason for a 32-year-old individual suffering from depression to go through this craziness. All right, we had that one woman who dressed up like a man for a year, went overseas and committed to Harry Carey as well.
Yeah. Now,
why that happened, I have no idea.
I do.
Well, hang on. Every article I've read in regards to the whole situation, mm-hmm. she did not have a life-threatening illness. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like that. She just said, I'm done. Forget it. Boom.
She was forced to face reality is what it was. That's the woman who dressed and behaved like a man for a year and discovered that men have it fucking hard. And yeah. She was forced to stare that in the face, and it did her so much psychological damage that she went over to like Switzerland and had herself gassed.
I get it. I mean, that, in my opinion, should not be allowed to happen.
I'll go with the whole free will thing. It's a load of crap that happened. It is a load of crap, and it shouldn't be allowed to happen in our country. We can't pretend to say that we can tell people what to do in their countries. That's for them to decide. I am a firm believer of that. I don't want it happening here.
But the thing is, it's north of the American border, meaning at some point it's going to trickle down into our country, and it's going to become a problem.
Yes, and that's the problem we have to address, in my opinion. But it is, it's already here. It's in Oregon and California, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
It's already here, and it's just a matter of time. I'll bet you it's happening in places like New York.
I mean, this whole thing is just mad. One, it's maddening, and two, it's saddening. I just have a hard time wrapping my head around this insanity.
No, yeah, I get it. This one here bears some discussion. I could live 30 years, but plan to die. How assisted dying law is dividing Canadians. Let's see here. April Hubbard sits on the theater stage where she plans to die later this year. She's not terminally ill, but the 39-year-old performance and burlesque artist has been approved for assisted dying under Canada's increasingly liberal laws. I think she's got MS. She used to be a stripper, basically, a burlesque dancer. Which is a classy stripper. It is.
All right.
She plans to be in a big comfy bed for what she calls a celebratory moment when a medical professional will inject her with a lethal dose into her bloodstream. So she's literally doing the Logan's Run thing here.
Yeah.
She's doing a performance death. And it's being allowed. This is, in my opinion,